the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a romance story hidden in the scriptures this morning. It's actually a double romance, making it all the more complicated, all the more salacious, all the more wonderful. It's a story about a young couple, a girl who was kind and generous and caring. She took care of those who were in need. She volunteered at a soup kitchen. She gave her time to causes that were important. She adopted kittens off the street. She nursed them back to health. She bound up the wounds of people who needed wounds to be bound up. She would have gone to nursing school, but it was unnecessary. She simply had the gifts of caring for those who needed her tender care. She was a very, very good young woman. And she met a man, a young man, who was steadfast in all things. He, like the proverbial George Washington, could not tell a lie. He was careful and honest in everything that he went about. He was transparent and clear. He, as I said, never told a lie. They were a wonderful young couple. They had some friends who were actually probably a same-sex couple. It's hard to say. The mists of time have left this all to be open to interpretation. Maybe they were two young men. Maybe they were two young women. I don't really know. One of them was absolutely pious in his or her living, careful about all things, read the scriptures carefully, tried to observe as best he or she could what seemed to be the laws of God's intention for God's people, and was careful above all things to observe the golden rule, to love her neighbor as herself, to always treat others as he would have himself treated by them. And his or her love was the most gentle, careful, and loving soul, who always had an air of calm about him or her, who never ever engaged in conflict, and who was somehow able always to bring an end to arguments, to fights, to conflicts of any kind. And it was a wonderful pairing of these two people, their gifts joined together. These two couples knew each other well. They lived in a village a long time ago where they knew somehow where they did not fit in. You think I'm making this up, but I'm not. You read about them yourselves this morning. Did you hear about these two beautiful couples who came to know each other in this small village where they lived, who realized that they were made for each other and somehow didn't fit in? When they met each other, their eyes lit up, their hearts leapt within them. They raced toward each other. And do you hear the psalmist report about it when he tells us that mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace in a most delicious and salacious moment have kissed each other? Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You know as well as I do that two couples like this do not fit in our society. They find it difficult to find a place even to make a home. They find it difficult to mix in the kind of social atmosphere that prevails. They find themselves getting strange looks from other people when they go about their daily lives, keeping, for instance, the discipline of prayer, not only avoiding conflict, but bringing peace where conflict seems to hold sway, being as caring as mercy was and as honest as truth was. They simply didn't fit in, and they found themselves, after mercy and truth met together, after righteousness and peace kissed each other, they found themselves driven out into the wilderness where they thought they could live by themselves and where they set up a lovely home. two homes next to each other. Maybe they were yurts or tents of some sort. I don't know. Maybe they found lovely caves where they could come in. I'm sure that righteousness and peace had a kind of a spare household. Mercy and truth had a few more knickknacks lying around than righteousness and peace did. They would share meals together often, but they were the kind of neighbors who knew when to visit each other and when to leave well enough alone. Can you imagine living in close proximity as these two couples did and never hearing a cross word from across the street, never hearing a fight or an argument, never hearing a voice raised from those neighbors down the street, never having an argument that your neighbors didn't shovel the walk as they were supposed to, never being turned down when you needed to borrow a cup of sugar or of milk or something like that. It was a wonderful existence, but it was an existence in the wilderness. And somewhere in their memories, as they sat around their tables when mercy and truth would visit righteousness and peace, they remembered those days of their childhood when they lived in the village and they were part of a larger community. And it's not so much that they yearned for that community themselves. They were actually pretty happy out in the wilderness, but they felt for that village. They knew that the village where they did not fit in was suffering, without mercy, without truth, without righteousness, without peace. They knew that no village like that could last for very long. And they wondered sometimes, in a kind of a sighing and almost sorrowful way, they wondered about their old neighbors back in the village where they came from. But something about the memory of what it was like, how difficult it was for them, how painful it was to somehow manage their existence in the village, kept them ever from going back. And they became more and more comfortable out in the wilderness, where almost no one ever came to visit, and where they simply had the silence and the sound of crickets in the evening and the sound of birds in the morning and the sound of each other's deep breathing at night. And one day, mercy and truth and righteousness and peace heard a kind of a disruptive sound out there in the wilderness. It wasn't jackals or hyenas. It didn't seem to be any kind of birds of prey coming down. It wasn't a commotion that seemed dangerous, but it was something new, something unusual that they had not heard before. And as they looked out in the distance, they could see the dust being shaken up on the road as a figure seemed to come toward them. And they heard this sound of a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And mercy and truth looked at each other, righteousness and peace looked at each other. They peeked their heads out their windows and looked at each other as couples. And they said, "What can this be? What can this be?" As John the Baptist made his way, kicking up dust and proclaiming his gospel of repentance and of preparation. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Now, mercy and truth being the kind of people that they were, and righteousness and peace being the kind of people that they were, they went about the work that they needed to do to receive a guest. And righteousness and mercy ran out into the road to call John the Baptist to come and visit and to have a meal with them. And they sat down together and they talked. And John the Baptist recited to them. He didn't need to read it. He knew it by heart. He's better than I am. He didn't need to remember. He could remember by heart the words that he had learned as a child from the prophet Isaiah. "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." And mercy and truth said to John the Baptist, and righteousness and peace said to John the Baptist, "What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Why are you telling this now? Do you mean to say that this is happening now?" and John the Baptist said, yes, the prophet's words are coming to fruition even now. For one is coming, the latchet of whose thong I am not worthy to unloose. One who is coming, who is more powerful than I. One is coming who will bring mercy and truth and righteousness and peace to all people. And mercy and truth looked at each other, and righteousness and peace looked at each other, and they said, that's us. And John the Baptist said, yes, I know that's you. Where are you going? They said to John the Baptist, where are you going? We will come with you. And John the Baptist said, I'm going into the village. And mercy and truth looked at each other, a little despondent, a little worried. Righteousness and peace looked at each other. They scratched their heads. They looked around at their minimalist home, so easy to care for, so few cares in the world. Righteousness and peace looked at the knickknacks that they'd gathered. And they thought to themselves, it's nice here. We have a perfect life out here in the wilderness. We enjoy each other's company. There are four of us. We form a quartet when we need to. What could be better? And John the Baptist said to them again, I'm going to the village. Come, come with me. And mercy and truth and righteousness and peace remembered how hard it was for them in the village, how difficult it was, not only the funny looks, but the bullying, the beatings, the embarrassment, the shame that they felt sometimes hung around their necks as they tried to stand for those things that their names betokened in the world. But something stirred inside of them, and they looked at John the Baptist in his camel's hair coat, who was munching on a locust as he stood outside the door, ready to go and kick up the dust some more. And they wondered if they should go with him. And they looked at each other, and they said to one another, let's go. And they went with John the Baptist into the village to proclaim the coming of the one who would bring mercy and truth, righteousness and peace with him in their time and in ours. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.